Blog Talk Radio.
We invite you to listen to the Crystal Chanel Show every Sunday on blogtalkradio.com. You can listen in from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The call-in number is 347-850-8557. That's 347-850-8557. Listen live online at blogtalkradio.com/The Crystal Chanel Show and check out our website at www.crystalchanelministries.com. That's crystalchanelministries.com.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Crystal Chanel Show. You guys, today is Sunday, and I am super excited. I went today and had a wonderful time at church, and now I am on the airwaves with you on this afternoon. Today's topic for the show is freedom from addictions. Again, that's freedom from addictions. And you guys, I am just overjoyed on today, and hopefully I won't get too emotional with you guys on today, but I just want to introduce my girlfriend, Cheyenne Cunningham. How are you doing, hon?
I'm great. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you so much for asking. And I just want to say that I am just honored to have you on the show today. I am super excited. Overjoyed. I can't just even begin to explain to you the excitement that I have right now. And I'm going to stop there before I start crying because I can just feel my eyes getting watery. However, you guys, I'm just super excited. Just want you to just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show on today. I want to start off just letting you guys know that if you have a question or a comment, please feel free to press 1, and I will be happy to get you into the studio so that you can ask Cheyenne a question, or if you have a comment for her or myself, we'll be more than happy to answer that for you. Now, Cheyenne, I'm just going to start off today, and I just want to ask you to just tell the listening audience, let's start off with your story and your testimony.
Okay. Well, my name is Cheyenne. I'm a 28-year-old recovering addict, and I'm from Middle Tennessee. I told Crystal that, you know, sometimes when you think of an addict, you probably think of someone who grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, someone kind of rough, but that wasn't my case. That's not my story. I grew up in a middle-class family. I was raised by two very loving parents who are still together. God was a big part of my life growing up. We were a very tight-knit family, so if something happened to one of us, it happened to all of us, you know.
Right.
One of the things that I have struggled with all of my life was obsessive-compulsive disorder. I started noticing this when I was maybe, I was like 5 or 6 maybe. And, you know, at that time, I didn't know what was going on. I would, if you're familiar with obsessive-compulsive disorder, you know, you perform what I call rituals daily. And so, you know, I struggled with that, and I always felt different, and like, you know, I didn't really fit in with people. I was never one of the popular kids, and so I guess around my middle school years, those are what I call the dark years, I was never a big girl, but I guess I was bigger than, you know, most of my friends were. And so that made me a target. You know, I got bullied every single day.
Wow.
Those people made my life awful. I would beg my mama not to make me go to school that day because it was just, it was awful. It was probably, I don't know, I mean, I can't even describe how horrible it was. It led to depression. It led to, you know, issues with my weight, which I still battle. And so I guess it was around the time before I started high school. I lost a lot of weight, and I did it, you know, I ate good, I exercised, I did it the right way. And I come back to school with, you know, people I've went to school with my whole life, and none of them knew me. Like, they didn't know who I was. I looked so different. And so this was the time that my life started changing. You know, I started getting more friends. I started, you know, boys started to notice me. And so it was around this time that I met my high school sweetheart. And I fell head over heels in love with him. And that was probably the happiest time of my life. I was just happy and carefree and in love, and things were great. And, you know, we were together for about 6 or 7 years. And then, I started college. I moved away from my family, moved to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And, he and I basically lived together. And so we were constantly at each other's throats, you know, just arguing, fighting all the time. And this was, you know, before we were going to get engaged. And so I started freaking out, like, you know, I think we need to see other people for a little bit. And, you know, but always in the back of my mind, I always thought, you know, this is who I'm going to marry. I just want to have a little fun.
Right.
And so he, you know, we both went our separate ways and whatever. Well, I found out that he actually got married to someone else on what was supposed to be our wedding day. So
wow.
Things kind of came crashing down around me. You know, I had my whole life planned with this person. I had everything planned out to, like, where we were going to live and how many kids we were going to have and all that, and that just kind of shattered all around me, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to live my life, you know, when things happened that way. I was so lost.
Right.
So around that time, I started dating someone who introduced me to painkillers. Now, like I said, I've struggled with depression and feeling weird and lonely pretty much my whole life. Well, when I took this, it was an Oxy. I took the Oxy, and all of a sudden, it's like things were great. Like, my depression was gone. I felt like I could just be myself, and I felt like people liked me better when I was on something, I know that's not true, but that's how it makes you feel. And after that one, I hit the ground running. I mean, it grew progressively worse from that. It got to where I would buy like 20 Percocets in a day, and that wouldn't be enough.
Wow.
And it wasn't just Percocets, you know, that's, other drugs are a part of my story, but that was my main one. That was the one that I always wanted. And so, to make a long story short, I was an addict for around six years, and finally, someone that I cared greatly about, he told me, he's like, you know, you need to get help. And so he and I sat down one night, and we just started calling these random numbers that we had found on the internet. And I called one number that I thought was for, you know, a rehab here in Tennessee. Well, you know, the girl was getting my information, and I told her where I lived, and she said, oh, well, we're in West Palm Beach, Florida. And I was fixing to say, okay, thank you, and hang up. And she was like, well, wait, don't hang up. And she talked to me, and she got all my information, and she said, I can have you down here in 2 days. And that's exactly what happened. In 2 days,
wow.
I was in West Palm Beach, Florida, at the treatment center. And, you know, that is the place that I believe, I will tell anybody, God and the treatment center are what saved my life. And this is going to sound so strange, but when I was in rehab, I mean, I just finally came out of my shell. I was around people who accepted me. They knew what I was going through. You know, they were the people that had felt lonely or out of place their whole lives. And I just thrived there. And, you know, I'll tell anybody that some of the most talented, creative people are recovering addicts.
That's so true. That is so true.
There was just so much talent, and, I mean, we would listen to people play music, read poetry, and, I mean, it was just, it was unbelievable. But I stayed there for 35 days, and I came out, and I wish that I could say that I've been clean ever since, but that's not my story either.
Mm-hmm.
I did go through a few relapses, and it got to the point to where I couldn't get 30 days clean. You know, I would relapse and then I'd start over, and it was just a vicious cycle that was like taking its toll on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so what finally happened was I basically had a nervous breakdown is the only way I know how to put it. There are like days, 3 or 4 days that I can't remember. I know that I was like at work. I talked to people. I did what I needed to do, but I don't remember any of it. And so thank God that my parents were so close. They knew that something was wrong, and so they came and got me, and I was able to stay with them, and I slept for like 2-3 days, and then here's the miracle. When I woke up, I didn't want anything to do with drugs, and I haven't since. I'm 7 months sober as of today, and
yeah.
I mean, I'm just, it was God. That's all I know to say. But, yeah, that's my story.
Wow. So as of today, you are 7 months sober. And, you know,
yes.
To the listening audience, for some, I'm sure they may say, oh, that's nothing. But for
mm-hmm.
people that have experienced different addictions, only we can understand each other. Because 7 months, 4 days, 1 month, 2 months, you know, everything to us matters. And everything to us is important as far as, you know, us keeping up with the time that we have been sober, or, you know, we've been away from the addiction or the addictions that we may have been experiencing. So, I mean, wow, what a powerful testimony and a powerful story, Cheyenne. I just want to say thank you so much for, you know, just sharing that with us on today. And I know you said with the medicine that you took, what is it called? For people that don't know what that is, can you explain to them the medicine that you were talking about in the beginning as far as the side effects and the different things that it would do to your body?
Well, you know, like I said, mine was mainly painkillers, and that I don't know how to explain what it does to you. It makes you feel euphoric almost. I mean, as far as the side effects of it, I mean, I guess, you know, if you're not used to it, it would be like nausea, dizziness, and whatever. But the withdrawal from it is what is so horrible. the withdrawal from it is shakes, hot sweats, cold sweats. Being sick to your stomach. The withdrawal is like it reminds you of death. I mean, that's what it. That's how bad it is.
Wow. And then because of, like, say, for instance, the different painkillers and different drugs and things like that that you have experienced, you know, how did that affect your health? I mean, how is your health today, you know, being that you're 7 months sober? I mean, how do you feel right now?
I feel so much better. Like, when I was using, my body was just, I was underweight. I never wanted to eat because I was either high or I was drug sick, you know. And, I mean, it took some time, honestly, to get to feeling better again. But, I mean, they say that the longer you have it out of your system, the better and better you're going to feel. And I find that to be true.
Gotcha. Wow. And I know, just piggyback on your story and your testimony when you were saying that you were going through depression and low self-esteem, and mainly that came into play because of, you know, the bad relationship and, for example, you know, you guys no longer being together and you pretty much not knowing, you know, hey, what am I going to do from this point because me and this person is no longer together. And wow, what a slap in the face for the individual to get married on the date that you guys pick for you and his wedding. So been there, done that, completely understand. You know, I could imagine how you felt when you found that out and had to go through that experience. But I do want to say, you know, touching back on, you know, you talking about bullying and, you know, having that experience of going to school and not wanting to go to school because you were being bullied. I had some experience of that as well. And mine was more so when I was in high school. I was one of those people that were, you know, talented, gifted, very grateful to God, not to brag about it, but just grateful to God for those talents and those gifts. But, you know, people would pick on me for no reason. I mean, I was very quiet, didn't really say much to anybody, but I had, you know, a few of those bully situations. And one of the young ladies that was bullying me more so, she passed away. So when I was in high school, she actually passed away. So that was a very sad situation. And so I understand. Now, did your mom, how did your mom feel about the bullying situation when you were going through that?
She felt pretty hopeless. I mean, you know, I asked her about it the other day, and I said, you know, knowing everything that you know now, would you do anything differently? And she was like, yeah, I would have done a lot differently. But at that time, you know, I mean, there's not even much you can do because,
right?
I mean, we had talked to, you know, principals, the bus driver, whatever, and still nothing was getting done. And that almost makes it worse whenever you talk to someone about it for some reason.
And to just say that, I don't even think, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't even think I even told my mom about the bullying situation. I just kind of went to school and dealt with it and really didn't, I think I was kind of naive to the fact, too, on what exactly was going on. You know what I mean? And it wasn't until I got, you know, a little bit older and then I started to understand it a little bit clearer on exactly what was really taking place and what was happening. But not a good feeling, because I do remember, you know, just being kind of down and out because I was always getting picked on. And, you know, my mom had us in church, you know, several times out of the week, and I would always wear skirts to school. So I was always called the holy girl or the sanctified girl or, you know, something of that nature, because I never really would wear pants unless I had PE'd or if I was, you know, cheering on the cheerleading squad. So I understand how that could have felt for you. And I would definitely say during my high school years, the weight wasn't an issue for me. Now, being that I'm older, the weight is an issue, but I was kind of always small in high school, so I didn't have to deal with that portion of it. But what an experience, I tell you. But we live and we learn from all the experiences that we have experienced so far. So I'm just very, very grateful for everything that I've experienced. And you know what, to be honest with you, I don't take it for granted. And I can't say, you know, of course, if you could hit rewind, I would love to do things a little bit different. But, you know, how can we help the next person if we haven't gone through anything? You know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, just my thoughts, you know. But also, just a quick question in regards to the Percocets. I know a lot of times I've had people to even ask me, you know, for example, if I had Percocets and stuff like that, and I did not know how popular that medication was, you know, and until I got, like, in my late 20s, and I was like, oh, wow, you know, people are really selling this stuff, you know, and they're selling it just like, you know, they would just be selling regular drugs on the streets. So that's very, very interesting. But I had to
take Percocets. And let me just say something. As a warning, there are people are lacing Percocets with different things now, and they're lacing Percocets with what they call it, with fentanyl. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Right, I have not.
But it's a very strong painkiller. They usually make it in the form of a patch. Fentanyl patches, and they're very strong. They don't really, like, I know someone who has died from having too many fentanyl patches on them because it's really hard to determine how much each person needs. So it's really easy to overdose on those things. And yes, they're lacing those. So please, please just be careful.
Yeah, and that's just amazing. Now that's just unbelievable because I didn't even know, you know, that they could lace Percocets. But my God, it's just amazing. You learn so much, you know, just having, you know, talk shows like this, because I'm sure there's a lot of other people that's out there that was not aware of, you know, Percocets being able to be laced and different other drugs that's out there that being able to be laced. Unbelievable, unbelievable. Wow. So let me just ask, I'm actually going to go back to your bio. And as I was reading your bio, talking about your relationship and you having that experience, and something that stood out to me was you were saying that, you know, everything, you were happy and, you know, you were at your happiest time in your life and everything was brand new and fun. And then all of a sudden, you know, the world was great until it was not. You know, I was like, you know, it seems so simple, but those words is what stood out to me really, really clear. And it just popped out, you know, like, wow, the world was great until it was not. Mm-hmm. But going through what you've already experienced and you know, still going through your rehab, and, you know, going through your being sober and clean for 7 months, that's a big, big deal. But how do you feel, like, as far as, you know, your depression and things of that nature, how do you feel at this point in your life? Like, I mean, are you waking up each morning, you know, feeling just a tad bit better every day, or is it still, a depression that you're experiencing currently?
No, I hardly ever sink into a depression anymore. I feel great. You know, I've been taking off some extra weight, and that's made me feel better. And I've just been taking steps to, you know, to take care of my body for once. Because, I mean, for years, you know, I just pretty much destroyed it. So now I'm learning to take care of my body and to eat better things and to exercise. And those things help so much with depression and, you know, yeah, I mean, that's, I wake up every morning pretty much just happy and positive. I have my little affirmations that I say for the day, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, so it's definitely a whole lot better.
That's good. And that definitely helps. The affirmations, what works for me, because, you know, just to let you know that I've experienced depression for years. I mean, when I say years, years. And that has been, like, ever since middle school, I believe, on up. And if I'm not careful, even now, me being 35 years old, if I'm not careful, you know, I can easily slip back into that. So different things that help me is, you know, like you said, the affirmations, you know, listening to my praise and worship music, listening to, you know, a pastor, T.D. Jakes or Dale Bonner, and, you know, getting my TBN in and different things like that to just keep my spirit where it needs to be. And, you know, for people that, you know, experience depression, we all understand each other. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that, you know, like to, you know, make negative comments and, you know, how can this person go through this? How can this person go through that? Or how can this person be experiencing depression? And they're looking on the outside and not knowing exactly what's going on in the inside. So I just want to say, you know, there's somebody out there that I know that is experiencing depression or experiencing some type of, you know, addiction right at the moment, whether or not that be drugs, food, masturbation, sex toys, pornography, sex addictions. There's so many different addictions out there, lying addictions. I mean, you have so many different things that we can call on that's out there. But what would you tell the person that is currently experiencing and going through that? Give them some type of word of encouragement.
I would say that hold on, it's going to be okay. I don't know how many times people have said to me, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay, and I'm looking at them like, yeah, right. But, you know, it really does get better.
Right.
And for, you know, for some people, I'm one of these people, it's okay to take medication to help with your depression.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people have such strong judgments against that, and
I've been there, honey. I had to take them. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's okay. If you need to take those, you take them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that has helped me is I stay close to God. You know, I remember just a few months ago, like, before I had my nervous breakdown, I was in such a pit of depression, and I remember I just laid on my couch and I just prayed constantly. I mean, I just stay close to your higher power and just keep on. It's going to get better.
That's it, and I truly, truly believe that it's going to get better. I mean, I'm sure that somebody out there that's currently listening in feel the same way. So I hope you guys heard the words of encouragement that Cheyenne just gave to you, and just want to say, don't give up. You know, it's definitely going to get better. And like I said, you know, I had to experience, you know, going to the doctor, you know, taking different medications and, you know, to help with the depression. And I also experienced, you know, postpartum depression. And that also is something that is just, I can't even begin to explain. But, you know, you think that depression is already bad enough, but when you add in the postpartum to it, my God, today, it is crazy. But, you know, do what you have to do to take care of yourself, you guys. I mean, whether or not that means, you know, you have to pop a daily pill, it is what it is. You know, nobody has to know that you're popping that pill but you and God. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to be honest. You know, I've been there, done that, had to take them, and I'm not ashamed to say that, you know. So it could be, it was me, and it at the end of the day, it could be you. But at this time, you guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. I do see that there is a caller in the queue. And, caller, I will definitely get to you in just a few minutes. But if we can just take a quick commercial break, and I will definitely be back with you, and we'll get you into the studio.
Are you in the market for a complimentary facial treatment, lip treatment, or hand treatment? Then Crystal Chanel can help. If you would like to host a Mary Kay party, or you would just like to purchase something for yourself or someone else, maybe a friend or relative, please visit www.marykay.com/crystaljenkins or call 770-715-7949. That's 770-715-7949 to book your appointment or to place your order today. If your New Year's resolution was to get back in shape this year, well, Lifetime Fitness in Johns Creek can help. So be sure to get your results and call Adam at 678-722-5912 if you would like a free pass to the gym or would like to get information on how to join this awesome gym. And tell them the Crystal Chanel Show sent you. 11555 Johns Creek Parkway in Johns Creek, Georgia, 30097. GPS it and get your information today.
All right, you guys, I just want to say thanks again for tuning in to the Crystal Chanel Show. And also just want to just let you know that if you do have a question, please feel free to press 1. Or if you have a comment, please feel free to press 1 and we'll make sure we get you into the studio. Cheyenne, there is someone holding, so I'm going to bring that caller in the queue, okay?
Okay.
Caller 8997, you're on the air with Crystal Chanel and Cheyenne Cunningham. How can I help you?
Hey, Crystal, this is Rob Johnson. How you doing?
Good, Rob. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Hi, Cheyenne. How are you doing?
Hey, Rob. I'm great.
Hey, I want to say I've been listening in, and I want to say I commend and applaud your sobriety. That's very brave of you to share your story, but I do want to congratulate you on being clean for 7 months now. I, too, you know, I don't know if you listened, but I told a little bit about my story. There's so many different pieces to it, though. You know, your life is like a puzzle, especially when you deal with addiction and any type of addiction that you may have or any shortcomings that you may have in the face of others. There's so many pieces to life. But I, too, once I had an addiction to gambling, people look at the gambling and say, well, that's not an addiction. But no, but it is an addiction. It's just like drug addiction. You know,
yes,
it destroys families. It destroys families and it destroys your life. You know, you do anything for to feed your addiction. And I learned from a childhood. I watched my mom, you know, who also struggled with addiction to gambling. So it was hereditary. It was in my genes that it was passed down to me, you know. And it almost ended my relationship and everything. So, you know, I want to say that thankfully now I don't have that addiction because I overcame it. It was something that God helped me release, you know. And I feel good that it's been almost, I want to say, maybe like 7 years clean since I've been, you know, addicted to that, if not longer. You know, I don't even have the urge to really gamble because it's not something that I want to do anymore, you know, but it is an addiction and I overcame that. And with the glory and grace of God and the love of my wife and our son, you know, that I'm thankful that I don't have that. But I just want to commend you again. I'm not going to keep you, but that's a great story and I'm glad for your overcoming that addiction.
Thank you so much, and congratulations on overcoming yours.
Thank you.
Awesome, awesome, Rob, and I really appreciate you for tuning in and sharing, you know, that short testimony. And Cheyenne, I actually did a show with Rob on last week's Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, and that was phenomenal. We had a wonderful time, very emotional and powerful show. So I'm going to have to make sure I send that link to you so that you can go back and listen to that. His story is powerful as well. And also just to say that you guys, to the listening audience, I mean, there is a lot of different addictions that's out there. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. And, you know, I am just heartfelt, you know, and when I you know, just for having Cheyenne on today, because number one, you know, the way that we connected is just so awesome. And on the top of that, you know, we share some of the same, our stories and our testimonies are so similar. The only thing, you know, for her, she was addicted to, you know, painkillers and drugs. And for me, I was addicted to sex. You know what I mean? And, you know, a lot of times people don't like to just come out and tell their story and tell their testimony and stuff like that because they're ashamed. They don't know what the next person is going to say about them. But to be honest with you, I can care less because at the end of the day, somebody out there is struggling from some type of addiction as we speak. And whether or not they are trying to get over that addiction as we currently speak, who knows? But we, the people that are, you know, don't mind sharing our story and our testimony, we're helping that person or those persons mm-hmm. that's going through the drug addiction and that's going through the sex addiction and that's going through, you know, pornography and gambling. And Rob, I so appreciate you for even mentioning that one because I completely forgot about that one. You know, my other addiction is food. I love to eat. I love to eat. I love to cook and I love to eat. And, of course, you know, that's not good either because at the end of the day, it's not healthy for you all depending on what you're eating. And it's not like, okay, I have the best, you know, eating habits, but I'm trying to make changes in that area for 2016. So, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to continue to push and push together, you know. So thanks again, Rob, for telling that story and that testimony. And if you have any other questions or comments, you know, please feel free to tune back in, and we'll definitely let you back into the studio. But did we cover everything you wanted to mention, Rob?
Say that again.
Did we cover everything that you wanted to mention?
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, we did. That was good. Like I said, once again, I commend you, Cheyenne, and I wish you continued sobriety and success. I know addiction is, you know, even with myself, you know, being in around that environment can cause a need to feed that or visit old demons. But I want to say, you know, stay positive and keep reading your affirmations and, you know, keep on the sobriety truck, you know, because it's worth it, you know, and you don't want to relive yeah. something that caused you pain and so much pain for your yeah. family members or your loved ones, you know. So even when you get faced with adversity and hurtful situations, still, you know, stay positive and don't go back down that road. You know, be a blessing to others by sharing your story, and that's all it's all about. You know, sharing your story and helping someone else. You know, you never know who may be listening or who may be watching who you can be a benefit and a blessing to.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And that is so true. And thanks again, Rob, for tuning in. And we'll definitely continue on with the show. If you have any additional questions, please feel free to press 1 and we'll get you back in the studio, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you. All right, Cheyenne, how you feel so far, girlfriend?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Awesome. And it's just amazing. I'm just so grateful and, like I said, just honored to have you on the show today. Cheyenne, I know we were talking about, you're welcome. I know we were talking about, you know, you being nervous, you know, when you went to rehab. Tell us why you were so nervous. I mean, how was that experience? What did you guys do? What did they take you? What was the process, you know, when you had to go there and have that experience? Walk us through that.
Well, from when I called, I could have flown out to Florida. They were actually planning on having me fly out there, but I have never mm-hmm. flown before. So okay. I was like, no. So I had a friend drive me down there. And okay. so, you know, that was a long drive the whole way there. I'm thinking, you know, I wanted so desperately to get help. But then on the other hand, it's like, well, what am I going to do without this addiction? You know, you don't want it. You want to get rid of it, but then you think, well, how's my life going to be after this? You know, like I know some people have said that they feel like, well, life is going to be boring when I get sober. You know, what's there left to do? And so it was kind of one of those thoughts, you know, like what's my life going to be like after this? But you know, I didn't get there until around 9 o'clock at night, so it was, you know, it's getting later, and the process, the intake process is, I don't even know how to describe it, because number one, I was really dope sick. So, you know, you're just thinking, come on, hurry this up. You know, I was sick. I wanted to go lay down. And you know, we had to sign a bunch of papers, and the doctor has to come in and see you. And you had to, okay, I'm just going to be honest with people out there. Whenever you go into a rehab and it's like for drugs and alcohol or whatever, they made us do naked jumping jacks to make sure that we didn't have any stuff, and you know, we didn't bring any drugs or anything with us. And so that horrified me when I was.
I can imagine.
They made me do that, and I was like, oh my God, you know. And I'd been waiting that whole time, and it was just awful. But finally, I guess it was around like maybe 2 hours later. I mean, it was a long time, but they finally gave me something to help me with my sickness, and then they let me go to bed. And those first few days, at least for me, because they give you something to help you with your sickness, and they give you something to help you sleep. So really, I mean, those first few days, I don't even remember most of it.
Oh my God.
I mean, I felt like, thank God I wasn't that sick. You know, it was just, and then I woke up on like the fourth day, and I felt so much better, you know. Like, I went to groups and I started meeting people, and that's when the magic happened. But those first few days, man, I don't remember much of them, to be honest.
Wow. Now, my mouth just dropped when you said naked jumping jacks, okay? I think, oh, my God, I can't even begin to feel that experience. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That is very, very interesting. But they just wanted to make sure that you guys didn't have any drugs, or I guess had any drugs hidden, I'm assuming, right?
Right.
Is that the other reason? Okay. Wow, that's very interesting. Wow. I definitely can't get over that one, but okay. We'll definitely carry on. But, wow, so, I mean, you just kind of, I mean, throughout the process, like, did they take you guys through, you know, because I've been through, you know, having to witness some of the experience as far as what they put people through, you know, in the rehab process, but for your experience, you know, did they have you guys reading Bible scriptures? And, I mean, did you guys have church and things of that nature, or did you guys go to church?
Yeah, we did. We actually, they gave us a choice. We could go to church. They had church services there. And then, you know, the longer you were there, the longer you were sober, you know, you would get to go out and go to different church services around that area.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So what did you decide to do? Were you able to go and attend some of the churches?
I did, yes.
Good.
I just want to mention something. Like, on that first night, when I finally got, you know, my medicine, and I was laying down. Like, I didn't have a roommate yet, so I tell everybody it was really just me and God. And that first night, I talked to God. I told him everything, you know. I just let it all out that night. And because, you know, addiction is a really hopeless, sad experience. I don't know how many times in the past that I prayed, because I didn't think there was any way out of it. I prayed for death, you know, or I wouldn't pray at all. And so that first night, it was just me and God, and I just got honest with him, and he's, you know, I mean, he's a huge part of my life, and I couldn't have done any of this without him. But yeah, that first night, it was just, I had tears coming down my face because it was the first night that I said, look, God, this is what I'm going through, you know, and I just asked him for help. That was the first night that I asked him for help.
Mama. Okay, now I'm getting emotional, and I'm I've been trying my best not to, and I have a song playing in the background, and it is Kiara Sheard, Free. And I played that song purposely because I want to just dedicate that song to you on this afternoon, that you are free. Even though you're only 7 months being sober, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. So don't let nobody tell you that it's not a big deal. And that definitely deserves a round of applause. So I just want to say to you that I am just super excited. I am overjoyed. I am so, so happy for you having to come this far. You've came a long way, and God is grateful, and I know that you are grateful for being in the position that you're in now because you're on the other side of the track.
Yes.
And I just want to dedicate that song to you, and this is one of the songs that I sent you in your inbox on Facebook, and this song is so powerful and so touching, and it's one of my favorite songs. And when I was going through my addiction of keeping people out of my bed, okay, I had to turn on Kiara Sheard every single day, every morning, every night. I woke up, you know, listening to her, going to bed listening to her, throughout the day listening to her, because that song is so powerful. The words are so powerful. When you go back and you truly listen to it and take your time and listen to it and understand the words that she's singing about, my God, it is so powerful. And I want to make sure that you continue to listen to this song. But this is one of the songs that I sent to you in your inbox on Facebook. You know, you guys, the story behind Cheyenne and myself meeting. One day her mom reached out to me on Facebook and she told me her daughter's story and told me her daughter's testimony. And I reached out to Cheyenne on several occasions just trying to be there to help her through what she's going through. And just knowing that I myself have been in a situation where I've had addictions and, you know, dealing with the sex addictions and dealing with the food addictions, you know, I felt like I needed to help her in some kind of way. So I reached out to her on several occasions, and she was tough, you guys. She was tough, and, you know, it took a long time for her to really respond to me, but I kept pushing and kept fighting, and I said, okay, I can't give up. You know, I would always keep in touch with her through her mom and see how she's doing, even though she wasn't talking to me directly. But I'm so grateful today, Cheyenne, to have you on this call and have you on this radio show. I can't even begin to tell you how emotional I am right now. And I'm just so grateful for what God is doing for you and doing in your life at this very moment and all the doors of opportunity that's going to come your way because of you being obedient to what God told you to do and you being obedient and getting yourself clean and taken care of. So I want to continue to tell you to press forward. And anytime you feel low, honey, you just turn on Kiara Sheard, Free, and listen to that song on a daily basis. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, that song between her and Leandria Johnson and some other singers that I've been listening to on a daily basis, you know, they've brought me out of a lot of different things. I mean, I'm going to give thanks to God first. But then, you know, listening and of course, my mom and listening to, you know, I know my mom's been praying for me, you know, from the time that I've been born. And I'm grateful for her because, You know, that's one of the reasons why I'm still living. Of course, God and my mom and being able to have that praise and worship music that, you know, just was able to just keep me strong and keep me lifted when I needed to be and when I was so low and going through the different things that I was going through. But I've experienced the depression. I've experienced the addictions, and that's not a good place to be, you guys. So I just want to say to you today that if you are experiencing any type of depression, make sure you get out there and get help. If you're experiencing any type of addictions, make sure you get out there and get help. And just to tell you a little bit about my story and my testimony and going through what I was going through, one day I was researching the internet and I was like, I need to admit myself in a rehab. And I started researching, and I guess I was just naive because I didn't know that there was truly, you know, rehabs for sex addicts. And I'm like, oh my God. You know, I was just amazed that truly there was one that was out there. And come to find out, there are several different rehabs that's out there for people that are experiencing, you know, addiction with sex. And then it's amazing because it's like soon as I looked it up on the internet, God took the taste out of my mouth. And I had to pray and ask him, God, I need you to take this taste out of my mouth. So just like somebody was, you know, the drugs that people experience and, you know, with sniffing the drugs and putting the drugs in their mouth and things of that nature. I mean, I understand what they mean, and I understand that taste because that's how powerful that stronghold was on me. That's how powerful it was. So I had to pray and ask God to take this thing away from me. You know, going back and forth to the doctors and getting different STD tests and stuff done, it was just, oh my God, I can't even begin to explain to you how many tests and things of that nature that I had to constantly go back and forth to my doctors and get tested for this and get tested for that. So you guys, this thing is serious. This is not a joke. Freedom from addictions, okay? Cheyenne and myself were free from addictions. And I'm sure there's other people that's on this call that's listening, even though you may not be pressing one to state your question or to ask a question or state a comment, but I know you understand me, and I understand, and I know that you feel me out there on the airwaves. So, Cheyenne, I'm just so happy for you, and I'm just so happy that you are in my life, and I know that God brought us together for a reason. It's not by, you know, that we have so much that we have to do. I just can't even begin to explain and begin to tell you, but we have a lot that we have to do, my sister. So I just want to say I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for your mom and your parents just sticking by you and, you know, walking you through this process and praying for you and things of that nature. And I just want to say thank you, Mama Pam, because it's because of you, you know, reaching out to me, you know, and asking for my help and things of that nature. That's why I have this connection with your beautiful daughter. So I don't take that for granted, and I appreciate you so much. And, you know, I'm just going to just continue on, and I'm just so excited about the different things that we're going to have planned for this year in 2017 and everything else. And, Cheyenne, I just want to say thank you, dear. I appreciate you, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited. You're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. And I was trying my best not to cry, but I tell you, when I listen to that song, Free, it just does something to me. It takes me to another level, you guys. So I'm sorry about the crying on the airwaves, but I pray and hope that you understand the passion and the seriousness that I have behind, you know, different topics like this. And also just something else that's so dear to me is, you know, giving awareness on, you know, different sicknesses and diseases and addictions, and at the same time HIV awareness and STD awareness. You know, having two girlfriends that died from AIDS, you would have thought that at that time when I had to experience that, that was enough right there for me. That would have kept, like my girlfriend wrote this book called Close Your Legs. Shout out to my girlfriend, Rachel Miller, but you would have thought that would have kept my legs closed, you know, having to go to the hospital and experiencing my girlfriend dying from AIDS and the pain that she was in and things, it was just awful. So I just want to say that, you know, there's a lot of different things that's out here that people are currently struggling with. You will hear me talk about topics like this quite often. You will hear me talk about topics like HIV and AIDS quite often and so many other different topics that's so dear to my heart. And as we talk about it, you'll understand why I'm talking about it, because I will always give my story. I will always give my testimony. I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed, because at the end of the day, like I said, it's helping someone that is currently experiencing this very thing, or they know someone that is experiencing this very same thing. Cheyenne, is there anything else that you want to share on today?
I just want to, you know, repeat, just never give up, lean on God, and it will get better. And to you, Crystal, I love you so much. I'm so thankful that you came into my life. You are such a blessing, and thank you so much for not giving up on me.
Oh, my God. You're so welcome, hon. And, you know, this is unbelievable, you guys, because I have not even met Cheyenne in person yet. So can you imagine how that reunion is going to be when me and her mom and her get together? And I'm trying my best not to cry, Cheyenne, but I am just, I just can't wait for that day. So we have to make sure that we make that happen. You know, me and your mom, we're going to meet one day, and yourself. And that's just going to be the day that we just sit down, and I'm sure it's going to be more crying and so much more that's going to take place. We're just going to have to maybe make it a weekend trip or something. But Cheyenne is in Tennessee, and, of course, you guys, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, but she's right up the road at the end of the day. I mean, I think it's like, what, maybe 4 hours? So to have love for somebody like this that I met on Facebook that I've never met in person, you know, it's powerful, you know, it's powerful. And the love that I have for people, you know, some get it and some don't. But for the ones that do get it, they do know that I love them, and I love them with all of my heart and my soul. So I just want to say I'm just honored to be in your life. And, you know, I don't want to just take up everybody's, the rest of everybody's day. I'm very grateful for people's time and jumping on the air with us and tuning in and listening in. And I'm sure there's a lot that we probably did not cover, but at the end of the day, we covered what God wanted us to cover. And this is not the first time. It's not the last time. So there will be more times that we will actually be on the air. There's so much different things that me and the sister will be doing in the near future together, me, her mom, and herself. So you guys prepare yourself. Again, this is Cheyenne Cunningham. Cheyenne, do you want to tell the listening audience how they can reach you on social media and, you know, different sites like that?
Yeah, sure. It's you can look me up by email. It's Cheyenne, CheyenneRenee at AOL.com. CheyenneRenee@AOL.com.
Awesome. And also, I don't want to take this for granted. Cheyenne, at this time, I just want you to, what if God was right here with us, and we know that he is. But, I mean, if we physically had him and we were looking at him right at this present moment, what would you want to tell him?
You know, I say the same thing every night in my prayers. Thank you, God, for, you know, being there when nobody else was. Thank you for not giving up on me. And thank you for giving me the power and the strength to continue living my life the way you want me to.
Yes. Yes. And I just want to say that I'm grateful as well, Father God. I mean, we're grateful. Both of us are grateful, and everybody else that have been in a situation like this and that have experienced some form of addiction, that we're grateful, God, for you keeping us through the midst of our foolishness and our foolery, Father God. You kept us covered. You kept us protected in the midst of our foolishness, and we're forever grateful, Father God. We thank you right now for every person that is listening to this show right at the moment, Father God, for every person that's going to go back and listen to the playback, Father God. We ask you to cover them right now, Father God, and keep them, Father God. Cover their families and their friends, Father God, and their loved ones, Father God. And anybody that's out there currently that's experiencing some type of addiction, Father God, we ask you to remove the taste from their mouth right now in the precious name of Jesus, Father God. We ask you to go in and heal them and deliver them, Father God, for whatever that they are currently experiencing and going through, Father God. Whether or not that's cigarettes, Father God, weed, whatever, we just give you all the glory and give you all the honor. I was actually on Periscope today, and I was talking about the show for 5 o'clock, and someone mentioned that they would definitely be tuning in because they were addicted to weed. And I hope that that person was able to tune back in to Periscope, and I am actually Periscoping the show live as we speak. And even though Cheyenne is not in front of me, but I still wanted Periscope to be able to hear the conversation and hear what was going on. So I'm sure and I pray that that person came back on the air and they were on Periscope and they were able to, you know, learn something from what we talked about on today, Cheyenne. But I just want to say I'm so grateful for your time. Thank you for, you know, coming on the show and, you know, telling your story, telling your testimony. And I just want to say, keep telling your story and keep telling your testimony, because every time you tell it, it's going to get easier and easier and easier. And it's just going to roll off of your lips. You know, it's going to just roll off of your tongue. So it's going to be very easy for you. And in the beginning, you know, it was really tough for me. But when I started opening up my mouth, honey, please, now I can't close it, you know. And I'm sure, you know, some people are like, okay, she just be telling too much. But, honey, when I say they don't know what I went through, and like Leandria sings that song, I don't look like what I've been through. I don't look like what I've been through. And, I mean, there's so much more that I have to share that I have not shared yet. And just get ready, because that's going to be coming out soon. I can't tell you the secret behind that, but I will definitely be having you guys, you know, you'll be able to read up on that, and I'll be able to share more about that very, very soon. So definitely stay tuned. Cheyenne, I'm telling you on the airwaves that I want you to continue writing your book, because your bio is your book. That's your story. That's your testimony. You've already started. So just pull it out and continue to write, honey, because I need you down here in Atlanta, Georgia, for the Meet the Authors event that I will be planning for you once that book is done, because people need to hear your story. They need to hear your testimony. And there's so much other things that I'll definitely be reaching out to you about and having you participate in. So all I can say, like T.D. Jake say, is get ready, get ready, get ready, okay?
Awesome.
But you guys, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in to the Crystal Chanel Show. You guys, make sure you tune in on this coming Thursday for the prophetic moment. That is with my mama Regina Gibbs and my sister Allison McDonald. Again, the prophetic moment. I'm not sure just yet what the topic is going to be, but I'm sure Mama Regina will have that planned out very, very well. She's a powerful woman of God, Dr. Prophetess Regina Gibbs, very powerful. And if, also, I just want to say that if you want to ever go back and review any of the shows, you guys, you can always go to blogtalkradio.com, the Crystal Chanel Show, and you can always go back and listen to previous shows. Also on YouTube, my shows are out on YouTube under the Crystal Chanel Show. So if you want to go back and look at previous shows, you can see them there. Please follow me on social media under Crystal Chanel or the Crystal Chanel Show. And also when you have an opportunity, please feel free to visit my website at www.crystalchanelministries.com. And also just one last announcement, April the 9th. Is HIV awareness. I'm actually having an event in Atlanta, Georgia at Cat's Cafe, and it's HIV awareness. We're going to be talking about the real world. I mean, from a standpoint of I'm not going to tell you. But just make sure that if you're in Atlanta, Georgia, make sure that you're there. We're going to have some phenomenal speakers, and they're going to just, you know, share their story and share their testimony. And you guys, you want to be in the building. That's all I'm saying, is that you definitely want to be there. But again, I thank you. I love you. I appreciate your time. And thank you so much again for tuning in to the Crystal Chanel Show. You guys, make sure you enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon. Cheyenne, I thank you so much again for tuning in with me. And God bless you guys. You guys have a great rest of the day. Thank you, Cheyenne. Love you.
Thank you. I love you, too.
Thank you, dear.
If you provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice.
Fill me up, Jesus. Yes, God. Jesus. I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor. In Jesus' precious name.